turn their heads and shut their eyes to avoid the wind-whipped glass dust.
What now?
The plane's arrival roused all the slaves. Raising their heads above the edges of their dimple beds, they watched the aircraft's doors open and three troopers step out.
Is Dr. Huff here? Is Dr. Huff still alive? He's been summoned back to the main camp.
Here I am.
A tall, lanky man sitting on the other side of the compound jumped to his feet. He hurried across the flatland towards the troopers.
What in blue blazes? The man truly is a doctor?
Kill the fucker!
Get him!
A slave bent, grabbed a sticky head by the chin and mouth, and lobbed it in Huff's direction. Several others launched similar missiles, which landed with dull smacks on the glass. Ryan picked up an axe from the ground, and in a blur of arm motion sent it spinning over the compound. His lead was right on target. The arc of the throw was a bit high, though. The tool cleared Huff's head by about a foot and skittered across the glass. Seeing the merit in what Ryan had done, and the fact that the guards had exacted no penalty for the attempted murder, other slaves looked to their tools as well. As the white coat zigzagged toward the gyroplane, he dodged a veritable rain of hurled pickaxes. Covering his head with his arms, Huff moved behind the trooper's battlesuit's protection. The armor deflected the barrage. It provided an invisible shield that sent the projectiles veering off at steep angles. When the troopers raised their laser rifles to fire on the mob, the downpour of axes quickly stopped.
Ryan, I am at a loss here. I thought the blackguard was just another slave. What is going on here?
I know, Huth. I met him in the other reality. He was the director of the totality concept on the alternate Earth. He developed a trans-reality technology of 5, instead of the first expeditionary force led by Colonel Gabhart. How he ended up at Ground Zero is anybody's guess.
Maybe he's just lucky.
It would appear my initial induction concerning his education was correct after all, Mr. Lauren. The man has obviously earned advanced degrees.
She told you bad smell.
If not that, a sorry state of affairs to be sure. We should never have saved the miserable wretch. I can only blame myself for that. You were right. We should have left him there to feed the rats. Then his existence might have served some greater ecological good.
It soon became apparent that the new batch of troopers hadn't completed their mission. After securing Huff and the gyro, they joined the mine guards and marched with them in formation, pulse rifles at the ready, driving a wedge into the milling slaves. It wasn't clear until the last moment what their intentions were. At a silent signal, they charged into the mob, using their rifle butts to club back those who didn't move out of their way fast. They beat a path straight toward Ryan and the others.
You know the drill, people.
The companions pulled together into a defensive hand-to-hand formation. JB, Ryan, and Jack took the front. Mildred and Christy guarded the sides, and Doc and Dean covered the rear. All stood back to back.
Use your axes to deflect their gun butts.
The troopers bore down on them. The battle-suited soldiers split ranks around the point of contact surrounding them. When they attacked, they did so all at once. Ryan dodged a rifle butt to the face, then used the curved point of his axe to hook the weapon's trigger guard. He gave a mighty jerk and pulled the rifle out of the startled trooper's hands.
The hell?
The trooper just stood there, watching as it sailed off over Ryan's head. Instinctively, the one-eyed warrior fired a roundhouse left punch into the side of the helmet. He was surprised that his hand made contact without being deflected by the armor's EM shield. It made good contact, too. The helmet didn't give at all under the punch, and the blow hurt his knuckles.
Fire blast!
If it stunned the trooper, he didn't show it. Before Ryan could block, a gauntleted hand was wrapped around the front of his throat. Ryan tried to counter by swinging the axe into the man's side, aiming for his kidney, but the point hit something solid long before it hit the target. A very strange something. Power in, power out. With the same force he'd applied to the blow, the handle was ripped from his grasp. The axe bounced away on the glass, and his arm went numb all the way to his armpit. JB paused in his own self-defense long enough to sidekick the trooper's weight-bearing leg right behind the knee. Nothing happened. JB's boot hit it square, but the armor kept the leg from buckling.
Fuck!
Then JB had all he could handle. A rifle butt caught him in the ribs. He twisted away to avoid a second blow. In this free-for-all brawl, it was impossible to keep track of anything except what was right in front of you. Everybody was juking, swinging, ducking, either hitting or being hit. Ryan half turned to the left and stepped around the trooper's right hip. The instant he got his weight shifted, he had the guy. he body slammed the soldier to the ground and drove his shoulder into him. The hand around Ryan's throat let go. The trooper didn't move for a couple seconds. In that time, Ryan tried to get his helmet off so he could do some more serious damage. He hit the release button. Before he could twist it off, another trooper came to the rescue, clubbing Ryan with the stock of his laser rifle. Ryan snap-kicked the trooper in the middle of the chest, shoving him back a good yard and putting his gun butt out of range. The armor didn't dent or buckle around the kick, even though he put a good deal of heel into it.
Dad! Dad, they've got Christy!
Shit!
Ryan whirled. Battle-suited troopers had separated Christy from the companion's fighting square. They had her surrounded and were battering her with their gauntleted fists.
Having fun yet?
Ryan threw himself at the nearest trooper, grabbing his arm from behind as he raised it to hit Christy. He jerked the man off his feet and sent him spinning away. JB tried to break through as well, and for his trouble got a rifle butt in the side of the head that dropped him like a rock. Ryan lunged through the gap he had created. Christy was already slumping to the ground, unable to fight off the rain of blows from all sides. Before Ryan could reach her, he took a gun butt from behind that made him see stars and put him on his knees.
Fuck!
The follow-up blow to the base of his skull knocked him out, but only for a second. As he heaved himself up from the glass, the troopers had his lover by the arms and were dragging her away. Her head drooped like a broken doll's. Her eyes looked dazed, and there was blood on her mouth and cheek.
You bastards!
Ryan charged after them. When they saw him coming, the troopers leveled their pulse rifles at him, muzzle first and waist high.
Stop where you are or we'll fire, Shadow Man!
Ryan stopped. He had no choice. There were too many weapons and too many hands. He could see he couldn't get any closer without being sawed in half.
Let her go, you bastards!
Don't worry. We're only going to borrow your red-haired friend for a little while. We'll bring her right back when we're done.
With the sights of their weapons sweeping the surrounding crowd, the soldiers backed their way across the flatland to the cargo door of the gyroplane. Christy was quickly hustled inside.
Get the assholes!
The slaves surged forward, rushing the landing site. More axes sailed through the air, and two of the Klieg lights shattered and winked out. Warning shots were suddenly fired.
Run!
Though they weren't that close, most of the slaves hit the deck to avoid the energy pulses. Ryan didn't go belly down on the glass, and he didn't duck. He stood rigidly upright, watching grimly as the gyro with Christy in it lifted off. The black aircraft rose into the sun, which was just breaking through banks of gray clouds on the horizon.
We'll get her back, Dad. We'll get her back.
Christy came to inside the gyro, buckled into a contour seat by a cross-chest harness. The cramped interior's red lights swam as the aircraft made a sudden, gut-wrenching takeoff. For a moment, the G-force had her stomach down around her boot tops. When the pressure eased, she noticed the man sitting in the seat next to her. He had a high forehead and long, skinny legs. Filthy and dressed in fetid rags, he smelled like a slaughterhouse on a hot day. He wore a big smile on his gap-toothed face.
What are you grinning at?
The turn of my fortune at last. Moments ago, I was doomed, like you and your friends, to die a terrible, lingering death. Now, I am saved. See? No manacles.
Lucky you.
No, Deng. It has nothing to do with luck. Dreda Otis Trask finally came to her senses. What's in this precious skull of mine is priceless, you see. I have a track record of success that belies my years. My rise to professional prominence was meteoric. I assure you, I have solved problems whose complexity and implications would crack your tiny mind. On my own world, statues were erected in my likeness. Halls of academe were named after me. I was emulated and bitterly envied by my peers.
Are you fucking crazy?
Hardly, though what I've endured would have certainly driven lesser spirits mad. In the other reality, I was the wellspring of invention. I helped to postpone the collapse of human civilization by more than a decade, and I discovered a pathway to other universes.
You
brought the battle suits here?
That's correct. I met your lover, Ryan Cawdor, in my reality. When I saw him outside the mine this evening, I took cover. I was afraid that even in my current condition, he'd recognize me. Our last encounter...